名前は頭文字 A 続く FLO 歌うよしか始まれば Don't stop タクタクただ発祥のビーツタバックエミリー動けばし Don't stop
I call, we laugh
軽い気持ちでストーリー
いつにか What's up? What? 今
Girl, I can't be a lover
He said, what's up?Done it, been there, done that for Kimmy Maji, looking so つまんない Yakubi Kaki, 実は got something to tell me なのに why you keep running 話し合んなら直接 say it 話しないなら why you wanna stay here Feel 不完全こじれて関係教えたよ one thing No matter how many times I try いくら言っても
For CJLO News, this is Ahmed Mushtahid.A Canadian national freight train derailed at L'Assomption in the Lanaudière region. A total of 13 cars left the tracks, 10 of them sustaining damage, but there were no injuries reported. Some cars contained dangerous materials, but fortunately they all remained intact after the derailment. However, the railway has been damaged and will take several hours to repair.The Transportation Safety Board of Canada is deploying a team of investigators to the derailment site in order to gather information and determine the cause of the incident. The opioid crisis is a tragic public health issue that is devastating the lives of thousands of Canadians across the country. The latest data show that since 2016, more than 10,000 Canadians have died as a result of apparent opioid-related overdoses. In an effort to resolve the opioid crisis,Researchers from the University of Victoria in British Columbia are leading an innovative project to develop drug-checking technology with the aim of reducing the death toll from the overdose epidemic. The University of Victoria researchers are gathering data on the drugs brought into supervised consumption sites and overdose prevention. They are also developing an online database with information about the drugs checked, as well as the experiences and perceptions of people who use these drugs.This tool will help to inform trends in the composition of illegal drugs and provide information to better protect people who use drugs. The project is made possible through federal funding from Health Canada's Substance Use and Addictions Program. In international news, on Easter Sunday, a series of 8 coordinated bombings in Sri Lanka has left more than 300 people dead and many others injured.Sri Lanka's minority Christian community, which accounts for less than 10% of the country's total population, appeared to be the main target of the coordinated attacks. The first wave of attacks struck during busy Easter services at churches in the heart of the country's minority Christian community in the cities of Colombo, Negombo, and Batticaloa. More blasts ripped through 3 luxury hotels in the capital city, Colombo. Members of Montreal's Sri Lankan community reacted with horror to the attacks.They also expressed anger and frustration at the Sri Lankan government, since it is now being revealed that foreign intelligence services had previously warned the Sri Lankan government of the possible threats. However, those threats were not acted on by the government. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind
Hello, gorgeous divas! Welcome back to Sparkling Introspection on 1690 AM. This is the Golden Dragon, Erdine.
This is the Golden Tigress, Christina.
How are you today? Are you good today?
Are you dazzling, sparkling? Now, before we start, please take a moment and ask yourself, do you love yourself? I'll give you a minute. Okay, time's up. But let this thought simmer in back of your mind during the show.
Wow. Now, we have a variety of answers when it comes to whether we love ourselves or not.
And we do.
Really, like, your relationship with yourself can be difficult or complicated. But one thing is for sure, we need to take care of ourselves, you know? And my opinion is the root of all life begins from self-love.
It does.
Yeah. So if you're anything like me or Christina, you might be super hard on yourself, hold yourself to an impossible/possible standards, and put your body through rigorous partying/studying/working. At the end of the day,
that's a lot.
Our bodies are the only ones that we have, so we need to take care of it, you know? Harvest it for a good season.
Yes.
And unfortunately, our society doesn't allow much room for self-love. So they, like, it's really sucky because, like, when it comes to taking care of yourself, oftentimes they end up gendering these things, like mani-pedis, spas for women, and sports for men, like hunting for men. But no. Self-love is for everybody. So today's episode is dedicated to self-care. Say it loud with me, self-care.
Self-love.
And we call it self-care extravaganza.
It's like an emotional hygiene.
Yeah.
Because we always, you know, when we go to doctors for a checkup, we always think about our physical selves, right? Yeah. How is my head? How is my body? But how is your soul? How's your inside? Right? We don't really think of that. We don't think of a more holistic well-being. We look at it through more of a physical perspective.
Yeah. I mean, in many senses, it's very, very important to actually think about your physical health, mental health, and emotional health. And I think that's why self-care is so important, because self-care encapsulates all of that. And today, we will be discussing self-care and what it means to us, the origins of self-care, the concept of self-care. And Christina and I will be sharing our hot tips and giving you some unsolicited advice that nobody asked for, but we will give it.
And because we love you and we care about you.
Yeah.
And we want you to do well.
And we're going to give you some ideas that if you want, you can adopt. If you don't, that's fine. Because I believe it's better to teach someone to fish than giving them the fish. Now, let's jump right into it. What is self-care? Where did this term come from? I tried Wikipediaing it, but it led
really?
Me to...
Really? Wikipedia?
Yeah. I mean, what? But it led me to a page about chronic illness. I mean, it's very important to take care of yourself during chronic illness, but I was looking for something else. And then I found this weird article from a page called girlsgonestrong.com. It was lame. I wouldn't recommend it. But they talked to this doctor, behavior change expert, whatever. And this person defined self-care as taking care of and honoring your body, mind, and spirit in a way that activates your best self. And from this, I feel like self-care is about awareness. You know? Listening to your body to see what your body needs and what you need.
I really agree with that. Because I find many times, and I'm guilty of this, I don't listen to my body. And I don't listen to my, I guess it's your conscience, right? It's that little voice at the back of your head that's telling you, that's giving you some sort of moral compass, right?
Yeah.
And I ignore that a lot. And
what is self-care to you?
Self-care is, it's really that, listening to your body, your mind, your soul, and having all of those three things link and work together in order to become a more holistic, better individual.
I agree. And I love that you use the word holistic, because we will be getting into that
shortly. I think that's
shortly.
Our key word today.
Yeah.
Holistic.
Well, one of the keywords.
One of them. Mm-hmm.
And one thing that is important to mention when talking about self-care is, oftentimes when you're coming from a culture that is non-white, let's just say how it is, it is self-care is often, self-care, self-love is often considered a privilege, self, you know, like indulgence. But mm-hmm. I don't really think self-care is any of these, because I think self-care is so fundamental and basic for everyday functioning. You know? And the thing is, self-care is not about like watching commercials and buying into expensive products that are like marketed for self-care. No, sis. Okay?
It goes way deeper than that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about the state of your state of mind, the state of your soul.
Exactly.
As well.
Now, before we get into the juicy part, I will be talking about the origins. But before that, I want to say, read out a quote by an awesome, amazing feminist poet, activist, amazing person, Audre Lorde. And this is the quote. Caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. End quote. Now, it's very interesting that she makes self-care political, and I love it. And the more I looked into self-care, the more I understood and saw how political it was. And we will discuss this more. There's an amazing article that we'll be discussing later on, so stay tuned, y'all. Anyways, I'm so hyper today. But I was watching a TED Talk today on self-care, and it was given by someone called Megan McCormick. I don't really care for her. She talks about self-care and how self-care is revolutionary and how it is just more than pampering yourself. It is a step towards taking the power back. Now, I want to play this clip for y'all because it is truly, truly fantastic. I hope it works. If it doesn't work, I'll be embarrassed. Hee-hee.
I believe self-care is a shift in power from institutions, from other people, to the individual. When I talk about institutions, these aren't on the whole negative, right? You think about your professors, families, friends, other people in your life, but these people are often influencing our perceptions of ourselves more than we are. Achievement-based schooling gives us the thought process that we need to do well with numbers in order to do well as humans. Self-care takes that power away from those institutions and gives it to the individual, which is why I think it's revolutionary.
Now, do y'all feel me? I feel like she just really summarized this so nicely.
She really did. It's all about taking control of your own self and not having outside forces and third parties influence mm-hmm. the way you think, the way you feel. It all comes from you.
Yes, I agree.
And your self-reflections and you're going to educate yourself, right? You're going to pull from different places, different sources, but the crux of it comes from yourself. Nobody's trying to manipulate you.
But I mean, it's like revolutionary in the sense that a lot of the times we have these big institutions watching over us, telling us what to do, how to be. And when we get into the real origins of this concept of self-care, you will truly understand why self-care is revolutionary and why self-care is such a political concept. But before that, I want to just jump back into something that Christina mentioned about self-care being holistic. And I think self-care, in a way, comes from this idea of holistic well-being. The healing that, you know, considers the whole person, body, mind, spirit, and emotion. And all of this is for better health and wellness, you know. And yes. I think it's so important that we don't, you know, point out one certain aspect of ourselves and say that's what. Of course, it's good that we, you know, point out certain aspects and like fix those. But it's so important to understand the intersectionality of your mind, body, soul, and emotions. Because really, you know, it's great. And something that is important is that self-care isn't only about taking bubble baths, mani-pedis, or, you know, eating expensive cheese. Self-care is catering to yourself and to your needs, what you need at the moment. Because for me, I like taking bubble baths. Christina may like watching movies.
I love going on self-dates.
But you may not need bubble baths.
No.
You may want to go play chess for 7 hours or go for a swim or go for shopping. You know, it depends on each individual, you know? And it's really beautiful.
It's really, yeah, it's something that's tailored to your likes, your tastes.
Your
definitely
needs,
but
your
also
needs.
Yeah, your needs as well. Of course your needs come before anything else, right? Those are, that's your primary concern, but it's also having a positive influence on other people.
Yeah,
doing something, starting a forming a group, an activist group that really gets at what other people need, you know what I'm
I
saying?
Mean yeah, like that could that,
yeah
that,
that's
that could
also
definitely
a form
be
of
a way
self-care.
Of self-care yeah,
yeah. It's a self-care and making a difference, you know, thinking about others.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think it's about bettering yourself, and if that's how you want to go about it, for sure.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us, but I'm saying this like we're leaving. We're not. We have a little ad break, but after that, we will be talking about many more things, origins of self-care, unsolicited advice. It'll be beautiful. And you're listening to Sparkling Introspection on CJL Low 1690 AM. Don't go anywhere.
Evenko, Greenland, and Blue Skies Turn Black presents Trust, live at the Corona Theater on Saturday, April 27th. This dark electropop project is touring in support of their much-anticipated two-part album, The Destroyer. Tickets are $25 in advance and $28 at the door. The show starts at 8 p.m. For more information, visit evenko.ca or check out Evenko's event page on Facebook.
Bonjour.
Hi.
Quoi?
A French show at CJLO.
Eh oui, tous les vendredis sur nos ondes.
Vous pourrez entendre les meilleures nouveautés musicales québécoises en français.
On aura aussi du contenu anglo, mais 100% local et deux entrevues par semaine avec des bands pour tous les goûts.
Moi, là, je suis fluent dans les deux langues. Je parle bilingue parfaitement, sans accent.
So you won't have any reasons to fail your French class this semester.
Écoutez le Friday Franco Show.
De 13h à 14h à CJLO 1690 AM.
Whoa, and we're back tonight.
Back and relaxed.
What are we talking about tonight? Tell me, girl.
We are talking about self-care, emotional hygiene.
What, who, why, when, how. Okay, let's get into this juicy, juicy, juicy article on Bust. And Bust is a really amazing feminist news source. I really, really love it. And this article is so important. And I want to discuss a few points. And this article really talks about, you know, the origins of self-care and the concept and how it came from. Now, first of all, did you know that there is a National Self-Care Day? I didn't know that. But there is an International Self-Care Day too, and it's July 24th. First of all, self-care has come a long way from its beginning, because in the olden times, society didn't really care about people's well-being, labor laws, you know, all of that stuff. May Day is coming up. So it's really important to be grateful for all the work that the women and the men before us have done. And now, let me discuss a few things. This article is actually so interesting, okay? So basically, the simple concept of self-care came from the fact that, patients needed to do self-care to upkeep with their, like, medicines, et cetera, to make sure that even without the nurses and doctors that they were surviving. But it came to a point when the healthcare professionals found that they needed to take care of themselves in order to take care of their patients. Now, really, that is beautiful. They had to better themselves in order to help others. That is really the core of self-care, okay? Okay. Great. Now, the really juicy part about self-care and the origins of this movement is that this concept really took off when it became a political statement. And the article states, when people of color start speaking about the importance of taking care of themselves, when governments and health centers often denied or ignored their medical issues. And this is something that's very important, because in the North American setting, I mean, in lots of like Western settings, people of color are often second-class citizens, even worse. they're treated not very well, even today. I mean, today things are better, but back in the day, segregation, blatant racism, terribleness, a lot of people of color, and especially women, weren't able to go to hospitals when they had ailments, you know, when they just needed, like, basic health services, because maybe, one, again, racism, etc., and money issues. And even today, people of color are still marginalized and still unable to attain so many basic medical needs because of like how expensive it is, money issues, and the poverty. And also, a lot of the times, marginalized people tend to live in parts of the city or the town where they have less access to transportation, medical services, etc., etc. So basically, these people of color start to realize the importance of taking care of themselves because they had no other way to, you know, sustain themselves. And it's not like you're not going to die. You have to take care of yourself. And that's basically the root of where this self-care movement came from. And apparently, feminist activists start to open their own health clinics to make sure that women were given access to the care that they needed. And again, this article mentions the amazing quote by Audre Lorde. I really, really recommend y'all go check out Audre Lorde. And another interesting thing is that after self-care in the modern contemporary time really, really became a huge thing. After all of these like rise of racism. I mean, a lot of times people say that racism doesn't exist now. It's much better than the 60s, 50s. In many ways it is, but I feel like racism and all that kind of hate is more systematic now. So anyways, yeah, it is systematic. So now self-care more caters to mental health, stress, anxiety, depression. And I find that so, so, so nice. And Sarah Merrick, she is the editor, and she's one of the editors of, I'm gonna swear now, Bitch Media. She said that we ignore many aspects of this concept that is self-care, such as race, gender, and class dynamics. And that is so important. And I want to read this quote from this article. It says, people of color and women experience higher levels of stress than other members of the population. So it is necessary for these groups to take care of themselves. And editor and chief of Bitch Media also said, Yvette Dayan, she said, how black women especially need self-care because of their role in the communities. And self-care for a black woman is, quote, a radical act because so often we're expected to take care of everybody else, end quote. And these issues that revolve around self-care is literally a matter of life and death in extending your life. So the next time someone says self-care is an indulgence, a privilege, tell them not. It's a fundamental basic need, okay?
We need water to survive. We need food to survive. We need self-care to survive as well.
I agree.
It's self-preservation, but also it's something that I feel is always overlooked. All the time. Like, especially with these marginalized communities and with women in general. Like, not only colored women and, you know, different types of women, but, you know, even my mother, you know, like, if I look at all the things that she does, like, she works 9 to 5. She's a 9 to 5 woman. And then when she comes home, she has to cook and then she has to clean, you know, like, it never ends. So when you look at all the things that are expected of women, it's just, like, crazy. And then they think about themselves at the end of the day or at a later time in the week, right?
Or
it's,
they don't.
It's postponed. It's either postponed or they don't at all.
Yeah.
You know, and that causes a lot of stress and tension in the person's life. It's just, it's not right. It's not a privilege. It's a human right. Guys,
we're making self-care a human right. We're going to the Constitution, okay?
Yes.
Get ready, Justin Trudeau. Anyways, but Yeah, I mean, that article was really great. I really recommend y'all to give it a read. I think you can just Google. The article is called Remembering the Origins of the Self-Care Movement. It's on bus.com. It's really, really great, and it's really, really eye-opening. I really enjoyed it. And as a woman of color, I think, women of color, it's so important to acknowledge the intersectionality that women of color face. Because like Christina said, women experience stuff.
But especially
women of color, they are in a different situation. And I'm saying this because I am a woman of color and I am an immigrant. And also my mom is a single mom who raised two daughters on her own. And she's a woman of color. And she came to Canada and she had to work and she had to like take up bunch of jobs. And she's like a small, tiny woman, you know?
But she is fierce. She's
fiery. And she had to work all this time and she had to raise her kids. And my mom found it so important to take care of herself. My mom has been meditating since, I don't know, I feel like it's since I've been born. I can't really say. But she always used to meditate, even in like the most stressful time of our lives. My mom was always, always meditating. And I think that was her way of taking care of herself, doing self-care. Because, you know, there's a difference between like treating yourself and self-care. Of course, you can treat yourself, you know, go out and, you know, eat 7,000 chocolates or like get drunk on expensive cocktails. But self-care is more like investing in yourself for the future so that you feel better, you know? Because if we don't, you know, if you just let an injury be, you're going to bleed to death.
Right.
You have to treat it.
Sometimes our minds are injured, so we have to treat that injury in our minds.
Yeah.
Or else it'll lead to something worse. Right? Yeah. Everything snowballs.
Exactly.
So... yeah, self-care is something that you should be, it's a lifelong journey.
I agree.
It's something you have to constantly maintain, constantly upkeep.
For sure.
You can never ignore it. Don't drop the ball. Would you drop the ball on your broken knee? No. So why don't you do it to your mind?
I mean, it's also not about just like dropping the ball, because sometimes we have a lot of expectations from ourselves. So you have to do what's right for you at your own pace, at your own needs. And sometimes if you can't do something, you just can't. Don't be hard on yourselves.
Oh, yeah. In those situations, right, you don't have, if you don't have control over it, then there's no point in that case, you drop the ball. But what I mean is that no matter how long, like you go at your own pace, no matter how long it takes to... you know, deal with your emotional stress, you're going to do it, right? You're going to end up at your goal at some point. But you're going to do it how you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The world is your oyster. You're in charge.
My pearl bed.
Your pearl bed.
So let's talk about some of our self-care routines. What are your self-care routines? What do you do for Christina?
Oof. I love... going on lunch dates by myself. I have this place, it's called Note. It's actually very, very close to the EV building on St. Catherine. So I have my torikatsu and my bubble tea, and then I have a matcha, a slice of matcha cake. And I try to do that once a month. I should do it more times, but you know, I just do it to reboot my brain, to, you know, just spend some time with myself to reflect on my to-do list or, you know, just relax with myself, enjoy myself, appreciate myself, you know. And sometimes I'm quiet, like I don't think of anything. I just stare into space, and that's super therapeutic for me. And I just go back, I go back to work feeling rejuvenated and revived. It's a great feeling.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really love that.
And also, like, the important, I love eating alone, not all the time, but I just feel like, no, I can eat at my own pace. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to eat fast that day, I can eat fast, or I can eat slow if I want to. Mm-hmm. And nobody's, like, talking to me, so I don't have any distractions.
And that's what you need, right? You go on these self dates because you need that me time.
I need that me time. I need that, like, poof. You know, time to just decompress.
Yeah. And I think it's very important to be alone. You know, the importance of solitude.
Yeah, like the importance of solitude, for sure. Yeah. I feel like many times Western culture associates solitude with depression or like antisocial behavior. But I feel like it's good to be alone. I mean, I was looking at a source called Psychology Today, and I was looking at like all the important points of being alone. It was nice. They listed it nicely. So it removes distractions, of course, like I discussed earlier. It makes you think deeply about things. Like, you don't really have commitments or responsibilities, right? So in that moment, you're just with yourself, right? Because every day I find, like, we always have somewhere to be, right? We always have, like, this person to meeting here, meeting there. But when you're alone, it's just you in your bubble, mm-hmm. relaxing totally, mm-hmm. you know? And,
I mean, and it seems like for you, you like solitude.
I love solitude. Yeah. And I like solitude at lunchtime and at the end of the day, I realized.
Me too.
Because I find at night or in the evening, that's when all of your self-reflections like come at the forefront of your mind.
Yeah.
And you can just keep, and your creativity sparks at that point.
Yeah.
It runs wild. And that's actually when I write my poetry.
I love that.
At night and when I'm on a lunch break.
I love that.
Or when I'm going out for a coffee at a cafe.
Yeah.
Those are the two crucial points when I'm just like pouring out my feelings and all my inner thoughts on paper.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's how it has to be. Now,
guys, yes.
I am obsessed with self-care and I really want to do today's topic. So I was very excited and I was excited researching everything. Now, I have a very lengthy self-care routine because I truly love myself the most. So I made a list of some of the things that I do to take care of myself. I mentioned earlier my mom meditates a lot. So like growing up with her, I really learned to take care of myself. And my mom is really big into taking care of herself too. But number one thing that I like to do is breathing. I cannot stress the importance and the difference proper breathing does for you. It's like breathe from your diaphragm. If you're having a hard time, if you're having anxiety, and I'm a very anxious, intense person. Like when I like something, I like it all the way. Like when I do something, I pour my whole heart into it. I am like extremely passionate.
You're a dedicated person. You really are.
Yeah, on like the verge of craziness. So when I'm in that, like the heat of the moment, that also makes my anxiety go up. So I really need to take time to breathe. And like just taking three big breaths is so helpful. And when I feel like I'm stuffy, I open the windows to my room and I just breathe and instantly I feel better. I really, really recommend people to try breathing, you know, really deeply. Take that time. It's so short, but it's so important. Another thing I do is every week, once a week, mostly on Sundays, I take Epsom salt baths. Again, I'm a very passionate and extra lady. So during the week time, I'm everywhere. I do like 700 things all at once. So my body is pretty worn out. So I take an Epsom salt bath. Oh my God. It is
for
muscle relief. It is just amazing. And with bubble bath and some essential oil in the air. I don't put on candles because I feel like that's a fire hazard. But I bring in my computer. I know it's so bad.
I'm too klutzy for candles.
I bring in my computer and I watch a nice television and I sit in the bathtub until I am a prune and I die of heat stroke. Actually, on Monday I took a bubble bath and I almost died of heat stroke and I like couldn't move. I had to drain the water and I was just lying in the bathtub because the water was too hot and I was too dizzy. So I just lie down in my bathtub until I cooled off. Following my Epsom salt bath routine, I have Twice a week, I mask and scrub my face. I have three different masks that I do. One is a brightening mask, and another one is an exfoliating mask. And then I follow that up with a sheet mask, which is really great. My friend sent it to me from Korea. Thank you very much, Junie. And this just like gives my skin a glow, a feel amazing. I am having breakouts, so I'm not looking very beautiful, but I do it anyways because it makes me feel like a true diva. And then I... Like some of the basic things that I like to do is I like to lie in bed without people. I hate hanging out with people. For my work, I have to deal with a lot of people. But once I get off work, I do not talk to nobody. If you want to talk to me, make an appointment. Listen, I hate people. I don't want to talk to people. I go in my room, lie in my bed, just shut my eyes and do nothing, you know. And I also try not to have alarms. Just wake up naturally, and if I wake up at 8 a.m., that is wonderful. I also sing out loud. I dance in my room. Oh my God, bitch! It's I'm so sorry.
That must I keep swearing in there. I want to be in your room when you do that.
No, you can't.
Why? I want to join the Erdine party.
Solitude.
The solitude. Solitude, Anita.
Yeah,
that's your party.
I only like to be by myself when I do these things. And recently, I've been really into arts and crafts. So I've been like doing a lot of painting. I made a picture frame, and I've been painting my canvas bags. And I love sewing. I love making bracelets, earrings.
I want to see all these crafts that you create.
I mean, one of them is my bag. I have them.
You got to show me that later.
Yeah, and then I'll show you my frames that I made. I brought shells from Cuba, and then I stuck them on the thing. And I also like writing little letters. I was watching this YouTube, and she taught me this thing. Like, you write little letters of, like, things you're happy about. So let's say, like, oh, I got a new job. Or, like, wow, I took a 45-minute bubble bath. Or I went for a run for, like, 70 minutes. Or those, like, little accomplishments. And I put it in a jar. And I think I call it like my happy jar or something. And sometimes when I feel extremely great, or just like whatever, I write it down and then I roll it up and then I put it in my jar. So like when I'm going through whatever, when I'm really depressed, I can, you know, go back and revisit
all your little happy notes.
Exactly. And that really helps. And also journaling is such a big part of love to write, so I really like writing my feelings. Like today, I was feeling really annoyed at my sister, and I had to like decompress. So I went into the bathroom because I was at work, so I had to make an excuse and go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, and I wrote my heart out. And one time, I was really mad at my mom, and I wanted to text her. You know, you get that rage. I wanted to text her. My mom was super rude, and she hung up on me. So I was like, I'm going to text her a storm telling how you were wrong. But I didn't do that because I was like, you know what? This will make it worse. And tomorrow you'll be lonely and you'll want to talk to her.
And it's such a temporary feeling, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still salty at her. I'm still salty at her.
Yeah, but that extreme rage lasts like 10, 15 minutes and then you're over it.
Yeah.
But during that time, you should write it out.
So what I did was I just wrote out all the things that I want to say to my mom, but I knew she wouldn't listen to me. So that was it. Like I said, I have a very, very lengthy self-care routine. But now... To prepare for this episode, of course, it's important that me and Christina discuss what we do for ourselves. But it's also important to get outside opinions. So I did what any good journalist did, and I grilled all my friends, and I made them write me stuff. Okay, so I will read it out. And the first one is from my friend Grace, and she titled it Day in Life of Anxiety Attack with Grace. And this is what Grace does. She writes why she needs self-care and like what's causing the situation, like if she's feeling bad or whatever, what is causing it. She writes it down and then she processes them. And then afterwards she Googles everything and why she's feeling that way, et cetera, et cetera. And then she assesses how much she can control, what she can control, and what she cannot control. Then she goes for a run to get the endorphins up. Also, Grace does like 50 push-ups every morning. She wakes up at 5:30.
Oh, you go, girl. You go, Grace.
I know. And then she watches episodes of shows that she's seen 100 times. And she told me to specifically point out Vampire Diaries and the Buffy series finale episode because it's full of woman power. And then she messages friends. FaceTimes them. And then if her room is messy or whatever, she, you know, sets up her room. She makes it clean, a candle, face mask. But she says she don't call the family. I get that. And she says she finds it important to find the balance between people time and alone time. And then she reads books. And then she meal preps. I have so much more.
I really like that. I really respect this woman because she really gets to the root of her problem.
Yeah.
And then she figures out
how
she can tackle it.
Now, another person, my friend Aidan, shout out to Aidan. And Aidan says, usually in the morning, I'll go into my roommate's room because he leaves mad early in the morning and he has a full length mirror. And I go in and look at my outfit and put on some rap music and do some dances to start my morning fun. Or sometimes I'll stretch in the morning and do voice exercises or just yell into the air while lying on the floor. I also try to laugh as much as I can before I start my day. So sometimes I just tell myself jokes or think of dumb conversations I could have with people until I laugh.
I do the same
thing. That is amazing, Aidan. Now this one is from Pablo. Oh my God, you guys should see Pablo. Pablo is so fabulous. I love him. One of my best friends. Pablo, definitely yoga, but I haven't been in a very good mindful self-care lately, he says. He says he does like a day for himself, and he would do minimal but rigorous face cleanse, mask, serum routine. And then he says he organizes his house and buys new plants. I like that.
I think cleaning is so therapeutic, too. I love
too.
It.
Me too.
And you know what I do about music?
Yeah.
I listen to music almost every single night for literally 3 hours. I'll be up until 2-3 a.m. with my écouteur, with my headphones on, and I'll be dancing downstairs.
Yeah.
And I'll be waking up my entire house. My parents get so mad at me, but I continue because it makes me feel so good and so relaxed.
Yeah.
I just keep doing my moves. And it also keeps you healthy, like physically active. I love it.
And now the next one is from Sophie Hugh Martin. And she says, and Sophie does a lot. Sophie is everywhere. She's a very hardworking woman. She says, I go running and I listen to really angry feminist punk music about eating boys for breakfast and how all men are garbage.
Oh.
And then I take long baths with tea and cry. I also watch stupid shows that make me feel good. I love that, Sophie.
She's a hardcore diva. I love her.
I love that. Another one. My friend Gabby, shout outs to Gabby. She is a lovely human being. Gabby says she does masks.
Me too.
Yeah.
Green tea mask. That's the best.
I think like masking is a very, very popular thing.
Yeah.
She says she takes like, you know, baths and masking. And she said she also picked up B12 and vitamin D 2 days ago because
the essentials.
I truly love vitamin D.
Yeah.
So my friend Omar, I messaged him. I want to include some men into this because I don't think men take care of themselves enough. And I think there's no shame in taking care of yourself, getting some nice pedicure. You know, you don't want fungus toes.
I'm sure many men do that. I know men. I know a guy that always does pedicures.
So Omar says, I just go to the gym. I run every day, play sports. And when I do those things, I don't ever think about problems and stuff. It all just fades away in a weird way. And I like that. And I got to mention Ife. My friend Ife also sent me what he does. His was real weird, yo. Okay, you know what he said? He literally mentioned, he says he does, like, he loves playing soccer and stuff. But he says his main self-care routine is eating 5 boxes of cereal and lots of croissants. He says he loves croissants and cereal. So you go, girl. Another one, my friend, I should read Florencia's, but before Florencia's, I would like to read Priyantha's. So Priyantha does a lot of yoga and meditation practices, great, and she says, but anything really where I'm able to connect with myself deeply, so alone time usually helps, long walks in silence. I love that. I think there's a theme that's coming up, you know? And another friend, Florencia, says nice novels, writing all the feels, running, doing my eyebrows, interesting, drinking sparkling water, and podcasts. And I know Florencia loves podcasts. She has the best recommendations.
Oh, recommend me some. I want to broaden my knowledge.
I'll tell Florencia to hit you up.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting seeing like how everyone has really different ways of taking care of themselves and having different things that they do. And hopefully, you know, y'all can adapt some to your lifestyle, whether you need it. And again, it doesn't have to be bubble baths or running to the gym.
You could even be trying something new.
Exactly. And it's about challenging yourself too, you know?
Challenging.
It's cute that way.
Feeling alive.
Yeah. So now we are having so much fun talking about this.
No.
But it is 10:45, which means we
gotta take a short break.
Yay! Okay, but
we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Do go pee and refill your wine, whatever, but do come back. And after the break, we will be playing a song, and it is by the late, rest in peace, Mac Miller. And you guessed it, it is called
Self-care.
Don't go back. You're listening to Sparkling Introspection on CGLO 1690 AM.
The Rebels, Riffs, and Revolution Band Off. One day to form a band by drawing names from a hat, 1 month to practice, and one show where everybody gets to be a rock star and raise funds for Rock Camp for Girls and Gender Nonconforming Youth Montreal. The Band Off is open to individuals who identify as women, genderqueer, trans, and non-binary, and no musical experience is necessary. To participate, you must attend the draw. The draw takes place on Sunday, April 28th at Barlaritz PDP at 3 p.m. There are 40 spots for Band Off participants. First come, first served. For more information, send an email to rcfgbandoff@gmail.com or check out the Rebels, Riffs, and Revolution Band Off on Facebook.
Nine out of 10 doctors recommend a steady diet of heavy metal riffs. And that last guy is a poser. So tune in to Sin After Sin, 10 p.m. every Wednesday, for your weekly dose of old-school, earth-shattering metal. Only on CJLO. Consuming riffs may cause whiplash and or liver failure. Please headbang responsibly.
So like September, I fall down below. Now know that the medicine be on call. Yeah, was feeling like you hot enough to melt. Yeah, can't trust no one, can't even trust yourself. Yeah, and I love you, I don't love nobody else. Yeah, tell them they can take that bullshit elsewhere. Self care, I'm treating me right. Yeah, hell yeah, we gonna be. Alright,
gon' be alright. I switched to thumb zones, but what do I know? Spending nights, bitch, hiking, where will I go? I could fly home with my eyes closed, but if you're kinda hard to see, there's no surprise though.
I've been losing my mind, yeah. Get the fuck out the way, okay.
Must be this how to play. It must be nice up above the lights. And what a lovely life that I made, yeah. I know that feeling like it's in my family tree, yeah. That Mercedes drove me crazy, I was speeding. Somebody save me from myself, yeah. Tell them they can take that bullshit elsewhere. Self-care, we gonna be good. Hell yeah, they letting me cook.
I switched the time zone, but what do I know? Spending nights hitchhiking, where will I go? Different. I was thinking too much. Got stuck in oblivion, yeah, yeah. Oblivion, yeah, yeah. Oblivion, yeah, yeah. I got all the time in the world, so for now I'm just chilling. Plus I know it's a beautiful feeling. In oblivion, yeah, yeah. Oblivion, yeah, yeah. Oblivion, yeah, yeah. When I come home, yeah. The sunset quickly, then get up slow, yeah. I just connect and upload. Watch it spin around, we just spin it round, yeah. It's gonna travel through the unknown, yeah. We play it cool, we know we fucked up. You keep on saying you in love, so tell me, are you really down? Are you really down? Go back to my crib and play some 45s. It's safe and yeah, I know that's still a war outside. We spend our nights all liquored up on morning sun. Can you feel it now? Oblivion, yeah, yeah. Plus I know it's a beautiful feeling. In oblivion, yeah, yeah. Oblivion, yeah, yeah. Oblivion, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Welcome back to CJLO 1690 AM. You are listening to Sparkling Introspection.
Erdine.
I am Christina, the Zygris. So now we're going to talk about how self-care involves and affects the culture that you were born in.
Yeah. And like how self-care is viewed in different cultures.
Yeah. I find like I'm Italian, so Italians don't particularly like to see a psychologist or like to talk about their emotions with others because they tend to keep a lot of emotions bottled up and they mask it with either pride or anger, or they wait till they reach their limit, their peak, and then they just explode and then the whole fight happens. And how is that effective? It ain't effective, right?
And I think it's important to also mention that self-care involves more than taking care of your physical needs.
Oh, it involves it's taking internal.
Care of health. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, Italians like take care of themselves so well, but mentally, but maybe they don't.
Mentally, maybe not. No, but I can't speak for all Italians, of course. But this is the general mindset that they have, you know. And it's not like I know my family. We like to talk about an issue that we're having. We're very vocal with each other. We're very connected because we like to talk about our emotions, you know, and I feel like that's what brings us closer together. You know, we're a real family unit. I'm very proud of my family. I hope that we continue to do this, right? I know I'm very confident that we will. And it's all about having a conversation.
No.
Getting, fleshing out all those ideas, unpacking, unraveling.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you're going to fix an issue, right? Is if you look into it, dissect it.
I agree. And so. I'm of Mongolian origins. I've said it many times. I'm so proud. But self-care isn't really like a concept or anything that I was very familiar with, that was promoted to me when I was younger. But like I said, my mom meditated and she really like moisturized. She took showers often and she really like took care of herself. And my mom always instilled this idea that, you know, you have to love yourself. You have to treat your body like it's a temple. And I'm so grateful for that. But I think my mom is a rare case, because in Mongolian culture, I don't think self-care is really that appreciated. They work really hard. And life, to be honest, is very hard in Mongolia. And, you know, I get that they don't have a lot of time to take care of themselves, especially the woman figures. They have a lot of roles. They work a lot. They have kids. A lot of useless men are there. So, I mean, it's true. I'm coming from a single parent household, yeah. So I know, like,
just the way you say
I'm speaking from experience when I say men are useless. Ha ha. Anyways, there are some good men, but anyways, this is not a show about men. I don't care about their feelings. Oh, sorry.
Ooh, shots fired.
But anyways, one thing I was really curious is that when I was asking my friends about their self-care routines, I felt like I had to explain myself more to men.
Right, because they do take care of themselves, but they can't relate to like the exfoliation and the toner and the this and that.
Well,
and,
I mean,
you know.
Also they don't really like.
Really, they don't have steps, right?
Dull.
Like you follow a bunch of steps for your face and for your body. Well, they don't have that. They just wash with bar soap.
But again, that's not what self-care is.
No,
self-care is more than that. It's challenging yourself, you know, doing something for your own self. But men don't recognize that is self-care.
They don't see it. They don't recognize it as that.
You know, and I think it's important that you take time for yourself and you take care of yourself. There's no shame. Toxic masculinity, you need to kick it out the door. Man, you need to love yourself equally. Take care of yourself. Go into like American Psycho mode. Actually, don't. He's crazy. But really take care of yourself. And there's no shame in admitting you need help, admitting you need some time on your own. Because, I mean, life is hard for men out there. You have a lot of standards. Yeah. You have a lot of expectations. And hatred for me is very strong. So take care of yourself. Important.
Yeah. You also have to see self-care as a personal thing.
Yes.
It's relative to the individual, right? Like you said, I mean, how can you see a face routine as self-care?
Some do, some don't.
For you, it's crucial to your daily routine. It's crucial to who you are.
I mean, Epsom salt is more crucial, yeah.
Well, all those things, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like I can't go a day without listening to music. That's part of my self-care routine.
Yeah.
And I listen to a lot of it. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I want to say, especially, I know our show's about women and females, but I know there's a lot of men, you know, in our lives. We just have to live around them. Really, man, if you are a male listening to this, really love yourself. Admit it when you need help. Admit it when you're wrong. Be open. Be willing to accept yourself for who you really are. There's no such thing as the perfect man. There's no such thing as the perfect woman. If you need to take time for yourself, be slow. As they say, quote, be weak, whatever. Do it all. Don't fall into what society labels you as, you know? Mm-hmm. Be who you are. Cry a little bit. I feel like crying is an essential part of my self-care.
I was about to say that. Do not
be afraid to cry. So cry a lot. Exactly. Yeah. And it's really important. But to close out the show, I just want to say again and again, thank you for everyone who tunes into us at 10 p.m. on Thursday nights, shares your evening with us. And I'm so happy that we did this topic today. I hope our show is a form of self-care. Maybe y'all are listening to us while you're cooking or not. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, please do reach out. If you go on the cglo.com and to the Sparkling Introspection page, you can find out ways of how to reach us. But really, again,
I want to say always online.
Yeah, it's important to make your rent, pay your bills, and love your friends and family. You know, all those obligations. But it's also important to take care of yourself. You know, get that money and treat yourself. Love yourself.
Respect yourself.
You know, and respect because others. At the end of the day, self-care is something that positively impacts you. And that positive impact